Thank you, Justin and Karen, for the, you already did wonderful messages already. And also the songs, too, were well chosen. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, Zion Fellowship. Let me take this opportunity to thank you for the many ways that I witnessed this congregation showing fruits of a healthy group of people. I think you're faithfully worshiping all through COVID and all of the things that happened there, caring for each other through illnesses, new life, family deaths, surgeries. There'd be so many things and people I could mention here, but I'm sure I would forget somebody. I think supporting Church World Service, that's kind of looking beyond yourselves. I think that's another sign of a healthy group. And sharing your facility with other groups, collaborating with other groups. I mean, I understand the youth go to Parkview and collaborate there, and VBS with Lindale. Helping to plan gatherings such as the November worship service with the Northern District congregations. And then again, Christmas Eve, candlelight service. And then this week you have one, Ash Wednesday, coming up on Wednesday. I think Sarah and Lori have, and many of you, lay leaders too, are giving effective leadership in this group, and I just want to thank you for that. Today, our scripture reading was from Mark that Justin just read. It's about the transfiguration of Jesus. I don't know how many of our congregations actually celebrate this day or even mention it. Some do, and I was happy to know that here it was going to be the scripture for today. We, in the Western churches, celebrated on Ash, preceding Ash Wednesday, the Sunday before Ash Wednesday. I think this morning we won't try to figure out transfiguration necessarily, but hopefully learn to appreciate it, to bask in the wonder of the glow. Perhaps it can draw us closer to what is unnatural, like the burning bush, Moses' encounter with Yahweh in Exodus 3. And like the fire Elijah hoped for and received from God on the altar, drenched in water in 1 Kings 18. I have a nephew who's a member and very involved in a Greek Orthodox church, and they celebrate Transfiguration on August 6th. So I just thought it was interesting that the Eastern churches and the Western churches have a different time, and I didn't research that, so I'm not quite sure why that is that way. But it is the last Sunday of Epiphany, and it's in this season that God's glory is manifested in the Magi, to the Magi. We talked about that a while back. God's glory was manifest in Jesus' baptism, where the Trinity is revealed. God the Father speaks. God the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus like a dove. And God the Son is present in the water, receiving baptism from his cousin John. And this Sunday is sort of the crescendo of God's glorious manifestation. So as we heard in the scripture, this morning we're going to a mountaintop with three of Jesus' disciples, Peter, James, and John, where they have an unforgettable experience. Most likely many of us have climbed mountains, and when we get to the top, we enjoy the view. Two of my daughters climbed the highest mountain in Africa, maybe some of you have too, Mount Kilimanjaro, which is 19,340 feet. Now, Mount Tabor, where Jesus was transfigured, is said to be 1,886 feet. It is located west of the Sea of Galilee. I don't know if any of you have hiked it. It was pointed out to me when I was in Israel, but I didn't climb it. There was no way that the disciples could have prepared for what would take place on top of that mountain. The Bible says that on the mountaintop, in the presence of Peter, James, and John, Jesus was transfigured. To be transfigured is to be changed in outward form or appearance. Christ's face became bright as the sun, according to Matthew's account, and his clothes became dazzling white, according to Mark. Jesus' transfiguration does not alter who he is, but gives to those who see the changed visage a new understanding of him because they see him outwardly in a different light. Sometimes we use the word transform and transfigured interchangeably. Yet there is a distinction to keep in mind. When we speak of being transformed, we tend to mean a complete or essential change in composition or structure. On the mountain, Jesus was not transformed. He was changed inwardly. He wasn't changed inward. Jesus was not made to have a new essential self, but an appearance that conveys his standing in the company of Israel's greatest prophets, Moses and Elijah. The disciples saw Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah, both of whom had been dead for hundreds of years. Moses gave the people of Israel the Ten Commandments, we remember that story, and led them to the Promised Land. And Elijah was the first prophet of Israel, and at his death was taken up in a chariot of fire. These two men represented the law and the prophets, the sources of authority in Jewish life. It is possible that Peter, James, and John were a bit afraid witnessing this transfiguration. After Peter suggests building tents, the verses following tell us that a cloud appeared and covered them. Now, the Jewish people, as we remember, associated God with a cloud, remembering how God led the ancient Israelites in a cloud through the desert. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice of God thundered from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." At this time, according to Matthew 17, the three disciples fell on their faces and were filled with awe. Driven to their knees on the mountain, if there was any question that there was something different about Jesus, it is dispelled here. The Son of Man, Son of God, Savior of the world, Emmanuel, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. All three writers record that God spoke and identified Jesus as his son and commanded the disciples to listen to him. You can look them up, Matthew 17, 5, Mark 9, 7, Luke 9, 35. Suddenly, Mark says, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. God directed these words to the disciples, to us, the church. These three words stood out to me when I read the stories by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Listen to Jesus. The transfiguration stands between the time after Pentecost, when we're learning to be church, and Lent, beginning with Ash Wednesday, when we are thrust back into the hard truth that we are dust. Both of my parents donated their whole body to science, and after several months, my father's ashes got sent back to me. And the same will happen with my mother's ashes. We believe their spirit, who they were, is with Jesus, not in the ashes. Our family appreciated Deb King, and I don't even see Dave and Deb here this morning, but Deb King came and helped us, and I was going to thank her this morning. Toward the end of my mother's life, she showed up and gave us some hours of her time. The transfiguration prepares us to come to terms with our humanity, our utter dependence on God. It was a striking experience that the disciples would remember all of their lives. Years later, Peter wrote in his second epistle, For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. That's in 2 Peter 1. Listen to him. What did Jesus teach us that we should listen to? Now, we all know that Anabaptists rely on Jesus' teachings for how we should live our daily lives. So how do we put this listening to Jesus into practice? Maybe it's by listening to the golden rule that Jesus taught in Matthew 7. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Listen to him. Perhaps it is resilience, humility, integrity, peacemaking, or forgiveness. Many of you know that I spend my weekdays learning from the grandchildren right now in this season of my life. And now that the youngest is 2 years old, and all the others are a little older, and they use language quite effectively, I overhear their conversations. And the one phrase that I am impressed that they are using when they disagree and hurt each other's feelings is, "I am sorry. Will you forgive me?" I didn't teach them that necessarily, but somebody did. One of the mothers or dads. When they hug each other and work it out on their own in ways that express care and love for each other, it is really a blessing to see it happen because it seems like it works. What did Jesus teach us about forgiveness? Forgive others and you will be forgiven. We need to forgive the people who have hurt us. Seems like a simple act, perhaps, with young children who love each other. But as we know, it is complex when we look at the situation in the Middle East, Gaza and Israel and Ukraine and Russia and many other places in the world, including times in the church. I think it's God's intention that we should live in friendship and harmony. And true forgiveness, you have to deal with the past, all of the past, to make the future possible. And then there is the teaching on love, and I know you've had scriptures talking about love not too in the distant past here. Listen to Jesus. Love God, love others. Mark 12. Love the Lord your God with all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Mark 10, Jesus says, let the children come to me. I'm just listing off different things that different ways that we can listen to Jesus, and I'm sure many of you do these things already. If each one of us in this community made a concerted effort to become poor in spirit, meek, merciful, pure in heart, and promoted peace, how would our community be changed? The Beatitudes that Jesus taught on the mountain bring people together when practiced. I think the resolution that Joe Friesen brought to the 2023 Summer Assembly also reflects the character of the Spirit of Jesus. It's what many of us pray, our lives reflect, and our actions show. And the opposite is when people become demanding and divisive and critical. Perhaps you practice what Jesus taught by honoring the dignity and value of all people. I like the way Justin opened up the service talking about how you matter. People matter, and this church wants you to feel like you belong. Perhaps it's denouncing racism and aiming for one new humanity in Christ. Perhaps you are building global connections by developing partnerships with the broader body of Christ around the world. Maybe you're calling and training and nurturing young people. Perhaps you're preparing meals for people without homes. I think that's coming up here pretty soon, where you can be involved in that. Or building bridges. Or listening to Jesus' words of comfort. Some of you have had great loss in your life. Each one of us is listening to Jesus in some way, and practicing what we understand our role to be in the world at this time. And today I want to invite you to write or draw something on that little piece of paper that the greeters gave you that expresses one way that you listen to Jesus. And then we're going to hang it on this, on these branches. You can add your name if you want, but you don't need to. And hopefully this can set somewhere where you can read them, read what other people wrote, and then it can be a way to encourage each other in our faith walk as followers of Jesus. And even if you're a young person that's 2 or 3 years old, you can draw something on there if you want, like a little heart for love. You love your parents and your family, and you love the church. And if you happen to be here and it's too hard to get up here and you don't want to get out of your seat, that's okay. You can participate too. Somebody next to you will bring it up so that you can participate. So do you have those cards? If you don't, I think Sarah has some extra ones. And then I have little clips up here that you can stick in the little hole there and to hang it up here, and we'll fill up these branches with these little cards. And if you don't have a pen, there's also pens and pencils up here. And while you're thinking about what you might want to write on your little card, I thought we could read 8:59 too. Maybe that's too much to do at the same time. 8:59 and Voices Together, I thought it just fits so nice with Mark 9. I'd like us to read it together. God of every place, some of us see you today from mountains of joy and confidence, mountains of gratitude and praise. Some of us seek you today from valleys of grief or doubt, valleys of loss or exhaustion. And in all places, there you are with us, nudging us onward. When we descend from the heights, show us your presence on the ground. When we rise from the depths, show us the light of your way. Meet us all on the path made by Jesus.